You'll recall our programmes on the destruction of the ancient stone Buddhas at Bamiyan by the Taliban in 2001, the subject we revisited just a few months ago. Well, a similar type of destruction of many of Islam's most important sites have been going on in the very spiritual heart of the Islamic world, Mecca. I am looking at a photograph which I find it hard to credit. It's the second tallest building in the world. It's the largest building in the world in terms of floor space. And I have to say, it's one of the ugliest and most vulgar buildings in the world. And it is casting an immense shadow right over the heart of Mecca. And this is the most powerful symbol, the most powerful reality of the fact that many of the most important sites are just being wiped out, swept away in the charge of the bulldozers has been the house of the prophet's wife, raised to make way for lavatories, the house of his companion, Abu Bakr, now the site of a Hilton hotel, and his grandson's house was flattened to make way for the new king's palace. And just a few metres away from the Grand Mosque is the world's second largest building, the one I've just been telling you about. Now, even the mountains aren't safe in this region. They get flattened to make way for new supersized worlds of luxury hotels and apartments and shopping malls and so on. And there's no end in sight to the building frenzy. Dr. Irfan Al-Alawi is the executive director of the Islamic Heritage Research Foundation based in London. He spent years trying to raise the profile of his native countries, the profile and the plight of his native country's historic sites, and thus far he's been a voice in the wilderness, and he's on the blower now from Malvern in the UK. This completely willful destruction of Islamic historic and sacred sites by the leaders of Saudi Arabia is absolutely breathtaking.
It is. I think it's probably the most, as you've explained, the most ugliest architecture that I have seen over the past 40 years. Mecca has changed drastically. It no longer looks like the holy sanctuary, although that is what is mentioned in the Quran, that a leaf, a tree should not be plucked in this holy city. You should remain from removing anything like mountains. And here we have mountains which have been dynamited to make way for the ugly skyscrapers. And I'm afraid to say that when we arrive in Mecca, the first thing that you would notice, other than the minarets of the Grand Mosque, which was perhaps the case 5-6 years ago, is the ugly clock tower dwarfing the Grand Mosque. And on top of that, I think, which is important, that Mecca looks like perhaps Manhattan or Las Vegas.
Well, more like Las Vegas, I think, because it's the vulgarity of what's being done, which is a sort of non-plussing as the whole policy. And I understand that in 2007, the Ministry of Islamic Affairs published a pamphlet calling for the demolition of the Prophet's Dome and the graves of Muhammad and Abu Bakr and Umar to be flattened. Why was there no outcry from Muslims around the world, or did I just miss it?
That's a very good question I'm sort of most often asked. And I think it is certainly a hypocrisy from the Muslim Sunni world, although the Shias have protested or have been going on protesting against such sick ideas by the Wahhabi regime. Mainly, I think it's either many of the majority of the Sunni Muslims across the globe are influenced by petrodollars or are afraid to speak up against the Saudi government or regime simply because they may be banned from entering the kingdom for the lesser pilgrimage of Umrah or Hajj. And the reason I say it's hypocrisy on the Sunni Muslims' part, because if a non-Muslim makes a movie or a cartoon, everyone is protesting throughout the world. or if a brick is moved in Jerusalem, every sheikh, every cleric is shouting on top of their head, and you have the headlines. But if something is dynamited physically, i.e., the Prophet's grandson Ali Urayd, his tomb was demolished, dynamited, completely razed, which was the 1,100-year-old building, part which was of the mosque, about 3 miles from the Prophet's mosque. No one in the Muslim spoke up that this is cultural vandalism. At the same time, you know, we lost the grave of the Prophet's mother, Amina, which again was bulldozed, and paraffin poured over it clearly so that the pilgrims were not able to come and offer their respect to this particular area.
Well, okay, let me look at this. On the one hand, you could see this is vulgar development, which is a problem pretty much everywhere. But it does seem to be have theological teeth to it. Are we looking at a sort of a policy to destroy anything which might be seen as idolatrous?
Absolutely. The Saudi Wahhabi belief is they believe in Tawheed, oneness of God, so therefore there should not be any graves or tombs built anywhere in the mosque or around. Now, no one in the Muslim world worships Prophet Muhammad or any other prophet. We believe as intermediaries, of course, between God and the human race. However, having said that, there is Wahhabi legal rulings, as an example, in Egypt, that they should be demolished. My answer to that is that the pyramids have been there before the time of the Prophet Muhammad, and so have the Bamiyan idols. Now, the Prophet Muhammad or his companions or any of his successors have never in history ordered that the pyramids have to be demolished, although they were there before him, and these are from the time of Pharaonic period. The same applies for the Bamiyan idols. So what gives the authority to the Saudis to give these legal rulings on the Bamiyan idols or the pyramids or anything belonging to perhaps the Abrahamic period or after to be removed and whereby we do not preserve it? And my fear is that if it's not preserved, it becomes a legend.
Yeah. Okay. Now, there's certainly no economic sense to it, because quite clearly most of this building boom will not be financially viable. You know, most of the space won't be rented. The economy doesn't allow for that to happen.
We have to understand here that Mecca is currently the most expensive plot of land on earth. And you've got investors from, you know, throughout the Middle East who are currently investing very heavily in the two cities, Mecca and Medina. For example, the Lebanese family Al-Hariri owns a lot of plot of land in Mecca. My only fear is that eventually, if these buildings continue to spring up in the two holy cities, it is clearly going to be unaffordable to an average person to go and perform the lesser pilgrimage, Umrah, rather than the Hajj, because we are looking at extortionate rates. As an example, if you're going to be spending a night in the clock tower in one of the last 10 nights of Ramadan, you're paying about $1,700. Now, who on earth can afford that sort of money?
And meanwhile, the former inhabitants of the old cities are being evicted, aren't they, and not compensated, or not necessarily so.
Well, absolutely. They have been promised for the past 3 years, before their houses were sort of demolished, that they will be reallocated or new properties will be built for them, and nothing like that has happened. As a matter of fact, some of the people have sort of pleaded to the Lord Mayor or the municipality office, and again, they have been ignored for. Again, if we move away from the Grand Mosque, Mecca is supposed to be a very ancient city, and it's still very old. Where these people have been moved to or allocated, although I'd hate to use this terminology, it would be the ghettos of Mecca or the shanty town. So the investment is being boomed into the near the Grand Mosque, but ignored around the other areas of Mecca.
I must ask you, what justification do Saudi Arabia's leaders give? I understand they argue that they're actually preserving the country's heritage by this rebuilding.
Well, there's no excuse. Under the UNESCO, they only have three historical sites listed to be protected. One is Ad-Dariya, which is the fort of King Abdulaziz when he conquered Saudi Arabia. And then there is some historical mountain in Riyadh and some old town in Jeddah, which are the old houses. Nothing of the Prophet Muhammad or his companions or any of his family members remain in the kingdom. However, the justification is that there is a need for expansion of the Grand Mosque and, of course, in the area around the Prophet's Mosque in Medina. I'm not against the expansion. Clearly, we have to understand when we expand something anywhere in the West, we plan before we demolish. In the kingdom, it's the opposite. They come with their bulldozers, they demolish everything, and then they plan. As an argument, one could say, well, we would never find anything near the Vatican overlooking the Vatican purely because of the religious purposes, or even around the White House. Why is it that it's happening in Mecca? One of the reasons that they would say, of course, is expansion is needed. Number two is an excuse to wipe off anything which belongs to the prophetic era, because by stopping people worshipping there, because anywhere where the prophet has worshipped, if a pilgrim goes and worships there, they are completing idolatry. And according to the Wahhabi belief, it's not allowed.
Well, construction is proceeding to enlarge the area around the Kaaba, the holy black cube in the centre of the Grand Mosque. Now, to go, as I understand it, are the brick vaults and the stone pillars, which are inscribed with stories and the names of the Prophet's companions. Please explain to me how stories and writing can be seen as idolatrous.
This is very sad to mention, and I'm glad that you've mentioned this. Those pillars have been started to be removed from yesterday. This is the oldest part of the Grand Mosque, which dates back perhaps 500 years, and then, of course, to the Ottoman era of the famous Ottoman architect Memur Sinan. These pillars or these locations of the Grand Mosque commemorate, for example, the Prophet's night journey to meet his Lord. And there are some poetry praising the Prophet being raised to the heavens from the famous mosque in Al-Aqsa in Jerusalem. And there are some areas where the angel of Gabriel brought the revelations to him. So the Wahhabis do not like anything in a poetry form or Quranic form, something which praises the Prophet. They believe that if anyone needs to be praised, it is only Allah or God and no one but Him. The argument here, of course, is there are verses in the Quran which God Himself has raised the status of the Prophet and praises him. And this is exactly the same like in the Bible. God praises Jesus. But the difference is that at least the Christians do not go around bulldozing any heritage that belongs to Christianity in Jerusalem, or just like the Jews.
It's sadly not without precedent, of course, because if you look at what the communists did to the old city of Peking, demolishing the city walls, most of the gates, and of course the Cultural Revolution set out to demolish everything else, we have an increasing habit of being, of wrecking our own histories pretty much everywhere. But what's happening here, where you argue that about 95% of buildings over 1,000 years old have been demolished in 20 years, is pretty much unprecedented.
Well, the sad news is that not only the 95% of buildings, historical sites, have been removed, the Kaaba was removed also, and people are not even aware of this. In 1996, the Kaaba was removed brick by brick. Now, this is the cube which the Muslims circumambulate. Purely the reason was that it was decaying. In the Kaaba has been rebuilt in history 8 times. The last time it was rebuilt, or maintained rather, though is the correct word, was about 350 years ago, and that was under the Ottoman rulers. recently the excuse was that the pillars inside have become rusted. They need to be replaced. So what the Saudi authorities did, and of course this was never exposed to the pilgrims who were there in the Grand Mosque, this was all covered up. We had the Kaaba removed brick by brick. They were placed in the black bags, driven across to the Red Sea in Jeddah and sunk. The reason being, no one would take any of these bricks as sacred relics to be preserved at home or anywhere else for that matter. Now, the new Kaaba does not have any remnants remaining of the original brickwork inside. Everything is gone, and it's mainly plastic from inside. And the shocking news is that most of the Muslim world is not even aware of this.
Look, we've done a lot of stories this year. I have to say, this is on the short list of the most absolutely astonishing. I mean, I'm just flabbergasted by this. And you must be so frustrated. Here you are trying to tell the world what's going on, and the world hasn't been listening to you.
Well, I am. I mean, my main concern now, in actual honesty, would be the preservation of the Prophet's tomb and, of course, his birthplace, which is clearly under threat. This is a very small library which sits on the Prophet's birthplace. I mean, one can shout and argue against cartoons and movies and whatever, but that really does not really make any difference to me. As a historian, what is more important to me is where he was born. And this particular building, we know it rests over his birthplace. And if we were to excavate, like we did his house where he lived with his wife Khadija before they moved into the toilets, I'm sure we can find some of the relics dating back 1500 years. But of course the Saudis are arguing that this is not that area, and they do not allow us to do excavation in that particular area.
Well, here's a paradox for you. I'm an atheist, and I would wholeheartedly support your work at the Islamic Heritage Research Foundation, as I suspect would many Christians. This is world heritage, not simply Islamic heritage.
Well, of course, and it's always the response from the non-Muslims who've looked at very favorably at my work, and they, like yourself, of course, realize that any heritage anywhere in the world has to be protected and preserved. And this is why I fear that I have more of the Western media showing interest in this particular and very, very important issue than the Muslims showing on this. Although it is a wake-up call, and at the same time...
Well, your call has woken me up, and I thank you very much for doing so. Dr. Irfan Al-Awari, Executive Director of the Islamic Heritage Research Foundation based in London. And I wish you every success in your, dare I say, your crusade. Coming up now, One Woman's Interpretation of the Australian Bush on LNL on RN.